Today's audio cast for Monday, March 12, 2007 from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by IFR Magazine, the magazine for the accomplished pilot. Mike Blakeney reporting. After about 2 years of posturing, the rubber hits the road for the FAA's attempt to radically change the way it does business this week. On Wednesday, Administrator Marion Blakey will be in front of the House Aviation Subcommittee to defend the agency's reauthorization proposal. That'll be a warm-up for March 21, when she'll be back in front of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee promoting her vision of a user-pay system for air traffic control and other services and hefty fuel tax increases for general aviation. AOPA President Phil Boyer will testify at the March 21st hearing to fight the proposal, saying it's unnecessary from a financial point of view and will seriously harm GA in the U.S. AOPA is pulling out all the stops to maintain pressure against the funding changes. Last week, it sent aviation reporters advance copies of a scathing assessment of the European user fee system that is intended as background for coverage of the committee hearings. The assessment lists examples of various fees imposed on all levels of GA aircraft. It also chronicles a flight from England to Germany in a twin Comanche that, despite some questionable maneuvers executed to avoid user fees, cost the aircraft owner $232 in fees and taxes alone. After being walloped by weather and bogged down by bureaucracy, Columbia Aircraft says it has to trim its workforce by 10% to make ends meet. The Bend, Oregon plane maker announced on Thursday it will lay off 59 of its 605 employees because of unforeseen factors that cut the number of deliveries it could make last year. Although sales have remained strong, CEO Bing Lantis said in a news release that a freak hailstorm last June and a six-month delay in the certification of its Garmin G1000 panel installation have hampered Columbia's ability to operate profitably. The 59 workers got their pink slips last week. Lantis said Columbia tried to reduce its workforce through attrition, but it finally had to impose the layoffs. He said the order backlog remains fat and the company is building and delivering aircraft against a 90-day backlog of orders. Hawaiian tour industry officials have leapt to the defense of Heli USA Airways after the helicopter tour operator suffered its second fatal crash in as many years this week. Three of seven people aboard the Heli USA Aerospecial A-Star died in the crash near Princeville on the Hawaiian island of Kauai on Thursday afternoon. A fourth died on the way to the hospital, and the survivors were critically injured. Among the dead is helicopter Joe Sulik, who was reported by a local newspaper to have more than 10,000 hours in the A-Star. Sulik reported unspecified hydraulics problems about 2 miles from the airport, and the helicopter crashed just short of the Princeville runway. It was the fifth fatal air tour crash on Kauai in 4 years and the second for Heli USA. Israeli Aerospace Industries is working on an airliner-sized unmanned aerial vehicle capable of carrying 60,000 pounds of freight. And the only reason it's focusing on a cargo plane is that the flying public won't accept a pilotless passenger plane. IAI's director of flight sciences says the technology already exists to fly passengers without pilots, but the world is not yet ready to be flown without a pilot at the stick. However, he said a study by Boeing suggests there's no such resistance to sending packages without direct human intervention, so the idea of a pilotless cargo plane is gaining some traction. The Kansas Aviation Museum needs a quick $110,000 or an army of well-equipped volunteers to bring a Cold War relic home, a B-47. The first swept-wing pure jet bomber is no longer welcome at the Oklahoma City Fairgrounds, and the Kansas Museum would like to bring it back to Wichita, where it was built in 1951. Museum Director Teresa Day said the airplane would definitely complement the B-29 and B-52 it already has on display. But the museum must act quickly. Oklahoma City wants the aircraft, one of only 24 intact B-47s, gone by the end of April, and it will scrap if necessary. For $110,000, a company will disassemble the aircraft, move it to Wichita, and put it back together. But as with most museums, they don't just have $110,000 lying around. The alternative would be to find enough volunteers with the skill and equipment to bring the nuclear bomber home, but Day says they'll need a crane to lift the 110-foot plane from its current pedestal and a minimum of 5 flatbeds to carry the pieces back to Wichita. Now you get the latest general aviation news from AvWeb as it happens at avweb.com, along with tons of resources and AvWeb features like brain teasers, video of the week, picture of the week, the pilot's lounge, and it's all free. Just check it out at www.avweb.com. Comments on this audio cast welcome at audionews@avweb.com, and today's report was brought to you by IFR Magazine, the magazine for the accomplished pilot. You can check them out at ifr-magazine.com. Look for AvWeb's next audio cast on Friday, March 16th. For the AvWeb Audio News Team, I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Thanks for listening.